When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends. Howdy there, everybody. Happy Turkey Day, or Tofurkey Day, as it is in the Chanley household. Thanks for joining us for your artificial friends. Thank you for all of the follows and the listens. They've really picked up this week, and it's been fun to see you pass the word along to friends and family. So please keep doing that. It's better than talking politics or religion at the Thanksgiving table. And here you go. It's the Thanksgiving edition of your artificial friends.
Hi, Larry.
I'm rolling.
So hi, Josh.
We caught you saying you're perfect, which I hope you leave at the beginning of the episode.
My parking meter's perfect. Before I have to go to the dentist. Oh, Herbie doesn't want to make toys. He wants to be a dentist. Oh,
I remember.
All I do is fix these toys' teeth, but what I really want is to be a dentist.
Trying to get those in before those benefits go away, is it?
You gone, Cornelius!
Nothing.
Silver and gold.
You just did the whole movie right
gold.
There.
Jesus and Rudolph,
you don't get to play any more Ranger games.
See? Tomorrow.
Somehow, Ever G. Robinson is daughter.
Yeah.
That's great.
I can do all the songs.
That was so good. I love that song.
Yeah.
There's always tomorrow.
What about? Did you?
For dreams to come true.
Have you seen When Santa Claus is Coming to Town? Did you ever watch that one?
Yeah, I didn't like that one as much.
There's like this middle part where Mrs. Claus, it goes into this weird 60s. LSD flashback, and I watch it every year just so I can see that part, so I can tell my wife, why is this in here? I don't understand.
Hold it. All of this
it was
is
the
for
60s.
Another episode.
Sorry.
I'm going to make a note.
No, please do.
This is important.
Because I have to ask about Heat Miser and all that, because that was one, it was like literally until like 10 years ago, I was like, what the hell are you talking about, Heat Miser? I was oblivious to that one. I know all the other ones. Must have just like tuned them out after Rudolph.
Which one is that one? That's the okay.
This is
the
other episode.
Sorry.
All right.
God.
Andy's eyes are coming out of his
all
head right now.
Did you write it down? Did you make a note?
Please make a note of it. Wrong holiday altogether. Today is about Thanksgiving. This is your artificial friends, by the way. I'm Andy Chanley. He's Larry Morgan. He's Josh Fligger. Sam Farmer's on assignment. And we wanted to talk today about Thanksgiving. And this will probably be one of our shorter episodes, but tomorrow's Thanksgiving. And I thought maybe we might do a couple of looks at this. One, yes, what you're thankful for. Should we save that for the end? Maybe we save that part for the end.
Yeah, because I got to figure out.
Yeah, Larry has to dig down deep in his body and find his emotion bone.
Got to start brainstorming. Maybe I can find somebody else's. I'm going to Google somebody else's what they're thankful for.
He's going to pluck beard hairs until he starts to cry a little bit. But also I thought maybe talk about what it's meant historically to you. You know, when you're growing up, what Thanksgiving was like in your house. And what it's like in your house today. And there's no one that's better at talking about food than this guy right over here, Josh Fligger. Now, I can only imagine that your Thanksgiving now is a bacon-encrusted miracle. Was it always that way when you were a child?
Yeah, but I didn't have nothing to do with it. That was all my parents. But yeah, we just had everything. Just the norm. We didn't have any crazy stuff, but it was just massive amounts of everything. You know, the stuffing, the baked, the mashed potatoes. We would do two turkeys because we would have. Did you guys do the early Thanksgiving for one family, and then they would leave, and then the second, like the mother's side would come in.
Oh, because you two sides of the family couldn't stand each other.
No, just
there just wasn't enough room.
There just wasn't enough room.
Yeah. Gotcha. No, we live so far away from my parents. Folks, that that wasn't ever an issue.
It was just, I just remember Thanksgiving was just like wake up, smelling turkey at 11 a.m. and then being like, okay, it's 2 o'clock, let's eat until yeah. darkness and yeah. fall asleep.
Yeah. I had a period of my life where it was two families who lived in the same town. So we would drive to that town. My parents were divorced, so we did split. There was like a... and it was a jockeying for position. Your stomach was always partitioning off how far you go depending right. on the family. And after a while, it finally they figured out they would trade off because that was just way too much food. But yeah, there was like an early Thanksgiving feast, and right. then there was a later one. Yep. And so that was a lot.
Were these turkeys, Josh, cooked at the same time, or were they staggered?
She did one in the oven, and then she had this crazy like... big, I don't even know.
Like a roaster?
Yeah, like a roaster that you could put on the counter.
Yeah, we did that for a few years because we actually liked it.
Do they still have those things?
Yeah, they do. We did that in...
Sounds like a fire hazard.
It's the most dangerous... Short of deep frying in your home right. and not realizing you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
Because you're... like tripping over the extension cord because right. it's at an island and
little
never
kids
has,
running around yeah. throwing balls everywhere.
Also, there's just fluids everywhere. Yeah. If you're basting,
and I can't imagine there's not some carbon monoxide involved in that.
No. It's an electric thing. But we liked it. I mean, in Woodland, when we lived in Woodland Hills, we had that Brady Bunch two oven situation, but they were both too small for a good sized turkey. So we got a roaster that would sit on the island. That was the one time a year we'd use it.
Yep.
And my wife loved it because she felt like it did a great job on the turkey. But it was a constant source of, oh, be careful. And it would splatter everywhere. Oh,
the kids were just banned from the kitchen. They couldn't even look into the kitchen. You know what I mean? We had the smallest kitchen in the world. And it was, you couldn't, we had a family of four. They had a round table in the middle of this kitchen. You couldn't, like, open the oven door if somebody was sitting at the table because right. you'd burn them. Like, everybody had to get up. Like, if four people were sitting at the table, there was no moving around in the kitchen. Like, a fifth person couldn't come walking. Right? So then they have that, like, big roaster sitting on the counter, and then one going in the oven, and then the gravy's, you know, there's the fire in the oven because the gravy's going, and then it's just, like, I could just see my mom just looking at us like, you boys, stay out of the kitchen! Your hair's, like, half done on one side, the other half's hanging out, and yeah, it was, we had a lot of cousins and everything, so it'd be mayhem. But the kitchen was a no-fly zone unless you wanted a spoon in the back.
Can I get the lineup of items served?
It was all very standard. You had turkey stuffed in the bird, but then she'd also make a separate big tray of it.
Hell yeah.
The stuffing.
Was yeah, there. I'm sorry. Yes, it was the stuffing stuffed in the bird. Mashed potatoes, gravy. Oh, I forgot about this. My
look
old
at him,
man.
Look at him. Oh, man. Oh. Yeah.
So my old man, and this is...
Since memory.
I always thought that this was like a normal thing, right? Until I told other people about it, and they're like, no, what are you talking about? So my old man would make... I don't even know if he would make it or my grandma or my granddad. He would make homemade noodles. Like these thick, super thick... linguine noodles, homemade fresh, and they dry them out, and then they remake them, and then he would take the turkey gravy, put them in the same pot, and then slowly simmer them together with some pepper, like more pepper and more salt. Then he'd take a big wad of mashed potatoes, and then make that crater in the middle, right, and just scoop a giant puddle of those noodles on top of it, and he would sit there and eat that. And he would like always leave a little more mashed potatoes on the plate so he could walk back and get some more noodles and put them over top of the potatoes. He'd have like three servings of these noodles, but they were just amazing.
I've never met your dad.
Yeah.
I love his dad.
Oh, yeah.
tell me quickly
Milt.
Again.
He's got an inch tattoo. It says Milt. He was the Pennsylvania State shot put champion. His arms are the size of my head, and he's got this tattoo. It's an inch big. It says Milt.
That's his name, Milt?
Yeah, it's his middle name. Milton.
Milton?
John Milton Fligger.
John Milton? That's
oh
fantastic.
Gosh. I guess we should say for anybody, because this is Pittsburgh area, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a Pittsburgh Thanksgiving,
total
man.
Total Yinzers. Yeah. Tell me again. Tell us about Josh. Told me a few months ago. He's like, "Oh, it's Owen. It's his birthday." So he gets to choose what he wants to eat, and he's chosen. He wants steak tonight. And I hear Josh just to hear a from his office, and I'm like, "What's going on?" I just remember when I was a kid, it was my birthday. Tell that.
All right. So the tradition in our house was everybody got to pick what you wanted for your dinner on your birthday.
Yeah.
And one year I said I wanted steak and shrimp. I wanted surf and turf. My old man's like, sure enough. And I was born in April, so it's still a little chilly out there. But we had this neighbor kid named Billy. And he was my friend. He was a year older, but he was a little bit of trouble. You know what I mean? But he was
eight,
a good kid.
8 years old?
Yeah. He was probably like 9. I was like 8. And so my old man's out in the backyard grilling up some steak, some shrimp. And Billy comes. I wasn't even there. My dad had to tell me the story later. Billy comes beat bopping down. He sees my old man. He's hanging out in the backyard. And he's like, "What you cooking?" And he said, "Well, grilling up some steak and I'm grilling up some shrimp." And he goes, "You know what you call that, Billy?" And he's like, "No." And he goes, "You call that surf and turf." And he goes, "Oh, yeah." And he goes, "My mom's making some macaroni and cheese and hot dogs tonight." He goes, "You know what you call that?" My old man goes, "No." He goes, "You call that piss poor." Oh. My dad came walking in the house crying.
Oh, no.
Oh, he told me that. I almost pissed myself. Oh. A 9-year-old kid with that perspicacity. That's that's special. What's Billy doing now?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Oh, my God. So, Larry, what about you?
I grew up in Texas, and so it was interesting for me to transition from what that was traditionally to, you know, when I moved to the West Coast. And to me, the biggest thing was, you know, everything was still kind of very traditional with the turkey and everything. And occasionally there would be somebody would get fancy. And it's funny because the deep fried turkey thing is such a kind of a gourmet choice now, and they've got indoor, you know, turkey fryers and all that stuff. Yeah. On occasion, one of my relatives might slow smoke a turkey, ooh, which I got to say, when that's done right, there ain't nothing better than that.
Awesome.
But the big difference for me was that I didn't know from stuffing. I mean, that was a very foreign-sounded thing to me. With us, it was turkey and dressing. And dressing is never done inside the bird. It's a cornbread-based dressing, and that was traditional for me for years and years and years and years. And that's probably the thing I missed. I mean, all this stuff we talk about, because it's related to food, and I said sense memory before, but it's just that, you know how you kind of stumble upon something that somebody makes that has all the flavors and combinations that are so close to something you grew up with that you haven't tasted in forever, and it just that little... Even just the smell of something like that will flood back, memories. You know, if I get anything close to that cornbread dressing, because I never have that anymore. I don't get the chance to go back there that often. So that's the memory of when I had to kind of get used to stuffing. Once I started hearing about things like oyster stuffing, stuff like that, I was like, I'm out. I don't know what you guys are putting in your damn bird. I've now become, you know, just a huge fan of in the bird. You know, more traditional stuffing. My wife has a recipe passed down from her family. Czechoslovakians in the background, and so it's that sort of thing. So,
does she put a meat like a sausage in it?
Yeah, there's sausage.
See, I never had that at all until I came out here, and I was like, "This is insane."
What was your stuffing?
It was just straight bread.
Just bread.
Yeah,
yeah.
Seasoning.
There's a lot of carbs going on in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
When you've got mashed potatoes and noodles and gravy.
My old man, he's like, I explained to him how you can roast Brussels sprouts, and I just watched him shiver. He was like, what are Brussels sprouts? Yeah. I didn't know what asparagus was until I moved to California. I was like, what is this thing? Is that a pen? I don't understand what it is.
But it would be, so it would be turkey and dressing and all the traditional stuff after that, really. Green bean casserole, which became a tradition. Yeah. I think, you know, if you came out of that era where suddenly it was easy to make a whole bunch of stuff with a can of cream of mushroom soup, and then you'd put the, you know, the the onion things on right. top, and so that suddenly becomes a tradition. But either yams or sweet potatoes, usually yams.
What's the difference?
Not a lot, but they are. But they are a different.
There's a difference.
I think one's sweeter.
They are
I think
a different. Yeah.
A little bit sweeter. And,
but for us, though, my memory of Thanksgiving, because I grew up in Texas, and you were a Cowboy fan because it was required by law. So they were usually playing the Redskins on Thanksgiving Day for. Forever. Right. I mean, that was such a tradition, you know, Cowboys and Indians.
Right.
So it seemed like the whole day was usually built around that most of the time, is waiting for the Cowboys to start. So the meal would typically be after that, or the two meals, you know, that's how you position it.
Right.
Like, let's go over to the Morgans to have their Thanksgiving before the game, and then after the game, we'll have the Greens version of Thanksgiving. But for me, I'm trying to kind of place myself in terms of, like, you know, school. For us, it was a road trip. It was a four-hour trip to Brownwood, which is where I was born and where most of the grandparents, the grandparents all lived there, and aunts and uncles. And so it was big family. A few days off from school, that was a big deal. And you knew Christmas around the corner. And typically by that time, the monstrous encyclopedia-style Sears catalog had
right.
showed up,
oh, right.
and the toy section
this.
In the back was...
The Christmas catalog.
Yep. Yeah, the Christmas catalog.
Yeah.
The glorious colors, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots,
toys
which I would never get, that I never got,
right.
and to this day still have...
But you play the game where you pick one thing off each page? Turn the page.
Yeah, we were circling stuff. I think crayons were involved or something, but there was like, or tearing pages out. There was a lot of planning around that time. That was a big part of Thanksgiving weekend.
Did you guys do the football game, Turkey Bowl, Thanksgiving Day?
Huh?
You mean like a family?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, that's like a Pennsylvania tradition. The morning of, all the guys go out and play a violent physical football game. Usually you come home hurt.
Yeah.
And then you start.
We didn't have enough males in my family to do that, but my.
No, you do with friends. It was a family thing.
My Uncle Lewis would get out in the front yard, which was filled with a bunch of like scrub oaks. So there wasn't like a lot of room, but we would just wing the ball back and forth. That was a tradition. And it would be usually really nippy cold out there.
Yeah.
And
sure.
Your hands are,
by that time,
you know.
Yeah.
And, but Uncle Lewis, clearly considerably older than me, loved to just fire it in as hard as he could to make it hurt.
Yeah. Wasn't he the one on Christmas Vacation? They want you to say the blessing! Isn't that Uncle Lewis?
Maybe it is.
Might be right.
They wouldn't hear you if you were going through a nitroglycerin plant in a dump truck. It's great.
So, Andy, what about you?
I'm from Greenwood.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, central Indiana. And so many things popped in my head as you guys were talking. Talk about sense memory. We were not in the bird stuffing people. Never were. My dad had a little bit of a phobia of undercooked foods. I don't think it was based on any experience. I think he just wanted everything cooked to the charred consistency of,
turkey jerky.
Yeah, a Rolling Stone spleen. So
yeah, well, I grew up with well done steaks and all that.
Yeah.
It took me a while to get used to bloody rare.
The idea of putting something egg based inside the endoskeleton of a fowl. Was
raw
not,
poultry.
Yeah, it was not on. And just the idea of that, I'm going to take out all your guts, and then I'm going to shove bread and some of your guts back in there with some eggs and let it cook, and somehow that'll be delicious, is a little bit odd to me still. I'll eat it.
I love it. I love that idea.
And there's still a school of thought that says... That tries to say you shouldn't be doing that. And
not my house.
Yeah, I know.
We just jam more noodles in it.
Even Martha Stewart says, scientists are saying this is potentially dangerous because of bacteria and salmonella.
Yeah. Yeah.
But fuck it. I'm doing it anyway.
Exactly.
Even Martha Stewart's like,
I'll roll the dice on this one.
It's once a year, goddammit.
If this is being bad, I don't want to be here. So, my mom would start cooking, you know, days before, and as I'm sure many do, she'd make pies, and the pie she made a flaky crust pie. It was made out of shortening. And not instead of butter,
Crisco.
But it was Crisco, and it was flaky and good. And she would make pecan pie, pumpkin pie. Yep. She'd make raisin pie,
which my dad would call desserts.
Dog tick pie.
I haven't even heard of raisin pie.
Yeah, it's interesting. And
I think that's maybe a variation on mincemeat, maybe kind of thing.
Poor man's mincemeat.
Yeah,
if you need to have a good shit.
There you go.
That's what you need.
Well, at Thanksgiving, you're going to.
But maybe not for days. But so she would have all of these pies. She would make cranberry sauce. And the cranberry sauce she made was Jell-O-based. It was a cold cranberry sauce. So she would take all sorts of fruit, and we would put it in the grinder. And it would grind out, you know, just like you would do in a meat grinder.
Yeah.
It would just come out through those little, you know, tiny eighth-inch holes, this slaw of apples and, you know, grapes and oranges and all of this stuff that would just grind through there. And then mix it with a Jell-O base and then cranberries, the cranberries, of course.
Yeah.
And it came out, and it was almost, to me, inedibly tart.
Yeah. Super sour, right?
Your face is puckered up just talking about it.
I don't hear you saying sugar in there anywhere. Yeah,
there was some sugar in it.
All right.
Well, it was put in Jell-O, so yeah.
Okay.
It was so incredibly tart that it make the sides of my cheeks hurt.
Yeah,
yeah. Tasting it. So I generally steered clear of it.
Yeah.
I'd have just like a tiny bit on the... But that taste, I still remember... You know, so vividly, like it was yesterday. And my mom would get up at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning and start cooking turkey. And we aimed to eat usually around 1 o'clock or something like that. And everything you can imagine. And the thing that I loved most about our Thanksgiving meal was the stuffing, the dressing. Like I said, wasn't stubbed in. It was put in big casserole dishes. Mm-hmm. And I had a family of nine, including my folks, with one bathroom and a house that was like, you know, 50 feet long by 30 feet wide. This was...
Piss poor?
Yeah. Pretty much. Good callback. And so... The thing I remember most is that she would have to make like at least two big pans of that, you know, two big casserole pans to feed that brood. And it was a sage dressing. She'd take, the neck and the heart and stuff
and
chop it up and make a bouillabaisse out of that. And then take all the bread and break it up and put in celery.
Yeah.
And eggs and just a helping of rub sage, and then pour the broth over it and mix that together. Put that in the oven for hours and hours and hours, and it comes out so fucking molting hot. Molten hot. It's the food equivalent of napalm. It is so hot. I mean, you get that on your cheek or whatever, you're tattooed, but it was really great. And now, you flash forward to, and I have to say, my parents didn't have money at all, but we were never hungry, and particularly not on a holiday like that. So you'd eat until you were full as a tick, and then you could go lay on the couch and watch TV, parade, and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
So flash forward to today. Where I'm married to a vegetarian.
I was been meaning to ask you about that. I'm so glad you're getting to this because I have so many questions.
So there is no meat in that. Well, let me back up. Lara will allow me to make a turkey, but not if it's just for me because she realizes it would be a huge waste. Right. I'm the only one that would have any of it. The kids don't eat meat. And it's their choice. You know, at first it was, when they're just blobs, you feed them what you want to feed them. But then they get old enough and they get picky about food. They can eat whatever they want. Silas still swears off meat. So I could make one. And if you guys were coming over and were going to be our guests and hated tofurkey, then she would allow me to make one of those for you. I feel pretty confident.
All right. But I just want, for the record, you put me down for no on the tofurkey. Just in case that ever happened.
Have you ever tried it?
I have, actually.
I hate most of that shit.
Yeah.
I do. I really hate most of those. You know, the fake whatever.
Yeah. Anything that you've given a name that sounds somewhat like the name of the thing that's really good.
Uh-huh.
Like, don't I? That
like
place,
a turducken?
That, yeah. That, no, like the place Raw in Santa Monica that was around for a while, uh-huh, where they would put no heat to any food, but on their menu it would say enchiladas in quotes. That's why I'm using the fingers. Don't put something in quotes as enchiladas and try and pass it. Just make something really good out of raw stuff.
In all fairness, if you go to Real Food Daily and get their club sandwich,
yeah, they're great.
That's dynamite.
No,
man. It's nowhere near a club sandwich.
But there's a place called Crossroads
but
on Melrose.
Great.
Have you been to Crossroads on Melrose?
No.
It's take Laura to Crossroads on Melrose. Same thing.
And what's the place in West Hollywood? The Mexican place that's all vegan. Madre, Gratis Madre, Gracias Madre.
All right.
You'll notice I've been dead quiet with all this vegan talk.
Yeah.
I'm just over here looking at you two. So like, what are they talking about?
Coming from the family of noodles and gravy on mashed potatoes, I'm not surprised.
One of these logs, it looks like a roll of Jimmy Dean sausage shaped thing. That's a tofurkey loaf. And we're gonna splurge and have two of those this year.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because we want leftovers.
Well, because you can make tofurkey soup later.
No, you can make
tofurkey
sandwiches. Here are the okay, I will make, first of all, let me get this out of the way.
Is this a cry for help? Do we need to drop in SWAT-like and rescue you?
Swarm!
Confidence is high.
Just come right and bolting through the
chicken
door.
Chicken is in the pot. I will make the dressing. I will make it. I won't put in, you know, animal parts,
yeah,
so
chop,
they can eat
up,
it.
Yeah,
yeah, but I'll use that fake chicken flavored stock, organic stock,
mm-hmm,
and some chick apostrophe in bouillon.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Words,
just give it a new name. God,
it's called Thanksgiving in quotations.
Change it from Thanksgiving to meh.
I guess giving.
Right. Meh giving. So I'll make that, and it's dynamite. I grow the sage in my garden, and it's fresh, and I dehydrate it, and it's like, I mean, it's the best sage dressing you can imagine, and everybody likes that. And then for leftovers, I'll get out the waffle maker.
Oh, you told me.
And
about
I'll take
this.
That dressing and I'll put it on the waffle maker and clamp it down.
What?
This and
is
it comes
most,
out.
This is the most genius thing this man has ever
what
said.
Is,
I remember
it comes
when you told
out
me about
crispy on the outside, still
what do you do
a little
with
juicy
that
on the inside.
What do you do
then
with
you
it
pour gravy over?
No,
the,
you
yes,
don't.
You do.
How did you think? Was that like a tragic accident, or did you sleepwalk and do that or something?
It was right after Vivian was born, and Laura had been begging for a waffle maker, and I got that thing. It was still sitting out on the counter. I'm like, I wonder if. And it's so good. So
you just
good
tried it?
Oh, and you know another thing you can do on there? Take those cinnamon buns you get in a roll.
Oh, yeah.
Throw one of those on there and smack it down.
I wonder if you could take some tofurkey and put it in the middle of the stuffing and then make like a sandwich.
You maybe could. And the tofurkey,
or some other substitute.
Yeah, something
like turkey.
Yeah.
Like some actual turkey.
Like food.
It's not bad. And here's what I've done to make it something I can thoroughly enjoy. There is a, I can't remember the brand of it, but there's a brown gravy mix that you can get at like Whole Foods. And it's vegetarian. But I would give it to both of you and have you try it. And I bet you couldn't tell. because it's really, really good. And that with the mashed potatoes and the stuffing and everything, it tastes like Thanksgiving. It tastes like Thanksgiving.
I'm doing it this
I tell
year.
You what, it tastes better than some of the burnt shit that my mom made.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's all award winning, but she was required to cook that turkey until it felt like wood that had been rasped.
Right.
You know?
And there's nothing, one of the wraps on turkey is that it tends to be a dry, especially right. The white meat tends to be a dry bird anyway, unless you just know how to
brined at all?
I have brined.
We brine.
Yes. I have made a turkey that wasn't cooked to oblivion, but my father wasn't present, so
yeah.
You know, that's how you can
get it. I just heard one of the ways to really do it is, brine it, of course, but when it's done cooking, you're supposed to take, cut the breast off and take that out and then continue cooking the dark meat.
Right.
And that's why sometimes you get the dry breast is because you're trying to cook all the, or maybe it's the other way around, but it's something like that.
No, that's right, because you don't want to overcook, because the white meat is the first to dry out because it's not as moist. But it also just kind of depends on how it's cooked and right. I've had good and bad. I've never had it cooked to oblivion like that, but I've had some that have gone horribly wrong. And I'm a white meat guy. I tend to not go for the dark, succulent, juicy stuff for some reason. But I'll slather some gravy on that baby, and I've had some stuff that's like it's literally sucking all the moisture out of my body as it's going down my throat. It's like, wow. And you're doing the whole Da Bears sketch where you're slamming on your own chest to try and get it down your throat.
Once again, like Christmas Vacation.
Or Three Stooges.
Instant jerky. that's what it's like these days in the house. And I'll try a pie every now and then.
I was just about to go there. No, let's.
You mean baking one?
Yes.
Not.
I also make homemade rolls. I make my own bread, cast iron little muffin tins, and I'll make my own dough and then put it in those. There's nothing like a hot white bread roll out of the oven.
I'm interested because you've mentioned your family now, because we've basically taken Thanksgiving back just for us. We're not actually cooking on Thanksgiving anymore because, when you're describing all this work that all of our moms or grandmoms have had to do, they turn around and a month later they're going to basically do the same thing all over again with slight variations on that.
Of course.
So, Charlotte and I decided we've taken Thanksgiving back. We are not spending it with family these days. We are doing an intimate either two or three person Thanksgiving. And if Alex, now I have an addendum to that because Alex, my son who lives in New York, has been adopted somewhat by the family of one of his roommates and really good friends who they went to BU together. They live out on Long Island and they do, you've heard about these legendary full-on Italian Thanksgivings where there's like seafood courses and, meatballs in it, but then there's also turkey and then there's this huge ice cream, mountain that they have at the end, and they also bring in rare scotches and smoke cigars, and Alex seems to be very attached to that now, and they've embraced him like part of the family. So Charlotte and I basically it's up to me. My big deal now, instead of making a dressing every year, is researching who makes a great Thanksgiving feast locally at a local restaurant.
I see.
And we go out and treat ourselves.
And this is up the coast or here in town?
It's going to be, this time it's going to be up the coast. We've done it in L.A. a few times in a couple of places. When Alex was in college, we would actually fly. First year, we met him in Boston, and I found a place for us to have Thanksgiving. And then the next several years, we met him in New York. He'd take the bus down, and I'd find a place in New York to have Thanksgiving and be there Thanksgiving weekend.
Let me give you two reasons why that's genius.
Yeah.
Number one, you would spend at least as much money buying groceries for your feast as you would going out to a 3 Michelin star restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll spend $500
by the time
you buy alcohol and the bird and all of that. And then your time is worth something as well. By the time you've invested in that, going out for a grand meal at a really good restaurant is a wash for a couple anyway.
Yeah.
And then the added genius is you go home without all those leftovers.
Well, here's what we do is we traditionally, since we came out here, we've been spending Thanksgiving with one of my wife's friends. And what we would do, we noticed like the first year was Friday sucked because you didn't have any of the leftovers.
Right.
So what we would do is we would go there, have a great Thanksgiving, bring our one dish that we had to make or whatever the night before. Then Friday, I make a turkey for us. And then we actually have our own private Thanksgiving.
Look at
so
you.
This year is the first year I'm actually making a Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving Day. Yeah. So, leftovers is a huge thing. And because Thanksgiving really isn't just Thursday. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, it's in our hearts all year round, isn't it?
Literally.
So I saw your eyes light up when Larry was talking about the stuffing with the meats, other meats, the beef and pork and so forth. Is there going to be... It seemed like there was a dream that had just sparked in your belly.
No, I'm keeping it simple. I'm just going to do stovetop.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know. The thing is, I'm the only one cooking.
Stovetop.
I'm the only one cooking, so it's like I can't.
I got too many
things going on in the kitchen. And plus, I don't want that. If you do it right, you got to make enough to feed an army. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then I don't want that stuff being around till next Thursday because that just goes straight to my ass.
Right.
You know, and I already got a fat enough ass. I don't want to, I don't have to deal with Thanksgiving on it, too.
Well, then.
So.
Let's be introspective for just a moment.
Be thankful.
Okay.
What, Lawrence Morgan, are you thankful about this Thanksgiving?
Well. Thank you for asking, Andrew.
You're thankful for me asking.
Yeah, I am. Kind of the stuff that goes to the core of what you're doing on an everyday basis as you move your existence forward. I'm healthy. My wife is healthy, and my son is healthy. I think it goes to family. I've been married. We just celebrated our 30th anniversary in April. Married to the same woman for that many years, which you don't see that much anymore.
Nope.
And we're best friends, and we have that kind of relationship where we enjoy being together. And because we have this weird situation where we live apart right now during the week, but we're back together on the weekend, it makes those weekends special. I'm thankful that we were smart enough to buy a place where we bought a place because we don't regret it for a second. And we get to, even if it's only for a couple of days a week, I get to look at the ocean and kind of feel at peace until I come back to this horrific metropolis. And I'm thankful that my son is better than me. My son is a...
You set a low bar.
But considerably better than me. How about that?
He's Alex.
Alex, I see a lot of me in him, and I see a lot of his mother in him, and I'm happy that he got the best of the two of us, because I see, I'm thankful every day that he is pursuing his passion and that he's good at it. But more than anything, as he grows into a man, he just turned 26 in July. He's such a good human being, and we're not the only ones that think that. We're not so blinded by him being our son that we don't get feedback from other folks unsolicited that he is somebody that people really love to be around and enjoy being with and working with. And to me, that's, there's nothing else I've done that's ever going to match that. And every time I'm around him or, interact with him and see him grow and change, that's just reinforced. So I'm truly thankful that we have put a human being into the world that I admire and, have never stopped feeling that way. And if anything, I'm constantly surprised at, every time I see him change and grow. I'm always impressed, and that's what I'm thankful for.
Nice.
Yeah.
When one of us kids said something that was, I guess, passably intelligent. My dad said, "Frida, where the kids get their smarts from? Was that from you or from me? She goes, oh, I think it was you. Really? Yeah, because I've still got mine. So what about you, Josh?
I'm thankful for just my family. I'm thankful for, like you, like I got a five-year-old boy, and I just look at him every day, and it just amazes me that he came from us, and he has so much goodness in him, and so he's just, the kid cannot lie. He just cannot, and it's a great thing, but he just cannot lie. He's so kind-hearted. He just loves to share, and I just look at him, and I'm like, thank God that's from, you know, that's totally Cindy. And he like loves school, and, you know, and I'm just like, what's wrong with you? Why do you love school? You know, he's awesome. And I'm really thankful for my wife who, God, can you imagine being married to me? She puts up with it every day.
Not again.
And is, not all the time, but a lot of times she's funnier than I am. And that, it's just great that to have, she has a sense of humor that I get. That was like one of the first things that kind of attracted her to me was, you can just say the dumbest jokes in the world that I would say, and we both laugh at them, and nobody else would get them. And that's just a great thing to have. But I'm also thankful for Heather Honiff from Camarillo, who sent us our first piece of listener mail.
What?
And we had it to...
That's fantastic.
I had her address it to My Artificial Friends.
Oh, and then I had my, I need a picture of that.
Yeah, okay. So I just wanted to show you guys what she sent us. This is a pink terrible towel.
Oh,
right? The cancer awareness thing.
Wow, right? Look at that.
And then this is a Steeler fight song CD. I'm going to give you that for the My Artificial Friends library.
Absolutely.
And then the most important thing,
it's got a little Steelers helmet sticker on here that says awesome.
Now this is the greatest thing right here, okay? This is I've never seen these before. It's a game day face, temporary full face tattoo. Right?
See? Oh, that's nice.
Now what the funny part is I'm not going to wear this. I'm going to put this on my wife. And I'm going to put it on her, and we're going to make sweet passionate love.
Wow.
So
this is
my
terrible.
Wife and I thank you, Heather Honiff from Camarillo.
I need to start taking pictures and putting them with the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been doing that.
Here you go.
We need to maybe get a picture of you wearing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Or Cindy wearing that.
but be careful when you take the pictures.
Maybe take a selfie later tonight of the two of you.
Yeah. We don't need a video of the whole situation.
If there's a picture and she's got like a cigarette hanging out of her mouth, you'll know it's post. So,
I love my favorite one of my favorite Owen stories is his first day of preschool. And he comes out, and they take a picture of him, and he's just beaming from ear to ear. He's had a great day at preschool, and he comes out wearing his backpack. And who is it? Does she send a picture to you?
She sends this picture to me, and it's him standing there, and he's I think like 4 and a half at the time. So he's got this backpack that's like twice the size of him. It looks like he's on the moon. You know what I mean? It's like one of those spacesuit things. And he's holding this lunchbox. She's texting me this picture, and she's like, what's wrong with this picture? And I'm like, I don't know, the backpack's too big. And she says, Owen doesn't own a lunchbox. Day one.
They were just giving them out. They were everywhere.
That is amazing.
Andrew?
Well, I'm grateful for this coffee.
Mm.
It's really good coffee.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
I don't know. Maybe you might think that Josh and I be depressed right now. Our radio station going away last week, but I'm not. I'm sanguine, hopeful about the future, and not terrified about things that I can't change and I don't have any control over. I am actually thankful for a couple of nights good sleep, mm-hmm. not counting the horse shit that my 2.5-year-old daughter's pulling at 3:30 in the morning. But your brain shrinks, you know, when you don't get enough sleep. It really does. And I feel myself getting smarter day by day, and my speech patterns are easier to control, and I can put thoughts together. And so it's nice to have a little bit of a break, but I'm grateful that I won the lottery three times. You know, I found Lara, or she found me, or however that worked out. That's in a previous episode. And I didn't think I was ready to open my heart to marriage again, and because I didn't know it could be good. And she continues after 10 years to show me just how good it can be. And we just keep getting better. And you get crabby and you make mistakes, and sometimes you step on each other's toes. My favorite thing to do to her is when we have a disagreement is to go up to her. First time I said this was one of the highlights of my life. I went up to her and I said, "Look, I forgive you." She leers at me like, "For what?" And I said, "For everything." She was furious, but she also had to laugh. And that's what I love the most about her, is she'll despise me sometimes, but I'll make her laugh in the way that I present things, and she can't help but laugh despite me being despicable. And Silas, you know, we took pictures of our cats because we thought they were adorable. We thought, are we going to take as much? We're going to take as many pictures of our son as we do of our cats. After he came, we didn't know we had cats anymore, and yeah. He just at every turn amazes me with what a sweet, funny, smart, beautiful little boy he is. And then Vivian came along, and she's making him up his game because she's trouble. She's darling, and I'm going to be cleaning my shotgun, you know, 16 years from now when boys come to the front door, because something tells me she's got charisma for days and days. So I won the lottery three times over. Wouldn't mind winning it again.
Whoa.
No, not with kids. I mean, I want money.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I thought your third wife.
That workshop's closed.
Okay.
Furloughed those elves long time ago.
You're paying for it for Thanksgiving dinner.
But I'm grateful for that. And, like you said, you know, having your health, they're all healthy. I'm falling apart.
Yeah.
I feel like I've got a trick hip now. I've got the plantar fasciitis, got a neuroma in this other foot, and the tendons there. I got tennis elbow over here.
Throwing football around. It's
when I first felt it, throwing the football. And then doctor says I've got arthritis in this thumb over here from an injury.
I was going to say, you don't look great.
I'm coming apart at the seams.
Yeah, you really don't look great.
I'm health-ish.
No. Here's what that is. You're aging. Remember when you used to make fun of me and big thing about,
"Hey, Larry, you big old fossil?"
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was, wasn't that great? Yeah, well, now you're one, asshole.
All right, that's fair enough. And you know what? And this isn't trite. I am grateful for the people that are listening to this, because they're all, almost to a person, people who listen to us on the radio here in Los Angeles and got to know us here. Or they're people that were referred by friends or family to check this out and are joining us in this very young journey of doing this podcast. So I'm glad to have people along for this one.
Yeah, well, I'm thankful for being invited to be along for the ride, because I actually, as much of a bummer as it is for you guys to lose your job, we get to see each other more often.
I know. Exactly. My schedule is really free this week.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So there you go. That's today's episode. Make sure you go to Audio Boom or iTunes and subscribe and
tell your
review
friends
it.
Too.
Tell a friend
everybody
about it.
You know.
Means the world to us. And we'll be back soon with another episode. Going to start doing daily episodes as well that might be shorter and a little bit different format, a little Andy's Almanac sort of thing. Hope you enjoy those. I hope I can produce those.
How about a little shout out to, what's her name, who sent us the...
Heather Hanif. I hope I'm saying that right. Heather Hanif from Camarillo.
I have no idea what this mix is, but here's one random selection off the CD from...
Yeah. Oh, this is Steelers. You know what it is.
This is, there's 24 tracks on here. Of,
oh my God, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Was it the Steeler Polka? You know what it is.
Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. We can't hear it. Only Larry can hear it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here, hold on.
I'm glad we have that in our lives. Thank you, Heather. If people want to reach you with items other than that, where can they get a hold of you, Larry?
I'm on Twitter at Larry_Morgan.
And you can reach me at JoshuaJFligger@gmail.com.
And you can find me on Twitter, too, Andy_Chanley. Sam Farmer will be back with us soon. Thanks again to David Kessler Design for our new logo for your artificial friends, DavidKesslerDesign.com. Go and check that out. Dave did that for us as a solid. So have a great Thanksgiving, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon on Your Artificial Friends.